The Facebook example of when targeting advertising is considered discrimination. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Facebook has agreed to change its targeted ad system after years of complaints that certain Facebook advertisers were discriminating. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more here. Nancy, what changes for Facebook?
Well, it's going to stop allowing companies advertising housing, jobs, or credit from targeting those ads so they exclude certain groups. Federal law prohibits that. But Facebook was allowing advertisers to explicitly prevent certain groups from seeing ads based on race, gender, or age. Now Facebook says it won't allow ads in those protected categories to be targeted like that. But the company didn't say anything about other types of ads.
And Facebook's under pressure to make changes?
Yeah. It was sued by civil rights groups who said Facebook made it easy for advertisers to, for example, block people with disabilities from seeing certain rental ads.
So this settles the complaints against Facebook?
Not quite. The Department of Housing and Urban Development filed a complaint against Facebook. It says Facebook violated the Fair Housing Act. Facebook is still trying to resolve that.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. The original denim blue jean maker, Levi Strauss, will return to the stock market tomorrow, 3 decades after it pulled its stock off the public markets and turned private. Levi's is hoping to raise about $500 million to invest in new product lines and freshen its image. Marketplace's Renato Sago has that story.
One thing you can expect more of from the newly public Levi Strauss & Company, a direct appeal to younger consumers. Jessica Ramirez is with the research firm Jane Halley & Associates.
They've been trying to stay abreast of millennial trends, and like most recently, they've been working more with streetwear brands that kind of work within their same realms.
An example of that, Levi's sells a collection that includes graphic t-shirts and cuffed skinny jeans. Levi's has also been trying to skew young by adding hemp to its garments and establishing a presence at the Coachella Music Festival. Marshall Cohen with the NPD Group says the IPO will also help Levi's build up its online direct-to-consumer sales in order to bring more options to market faster.
The younger consumer today, they want products that fit them better, relate to them better, that they can showcase. They don't want to just be able to go into a store and buy the same thing as everybody else.
Levi Strauss & Company will be listed on the New York Stock Exchange with the symbol Levi. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
We're also watching Great Britain today, with the Prime Minister there angling for a short delay to the country's departure from the European Union. With the looming prospect of the UK jumping into the unknown without a formal exit plan, the British pound is down at the moment. London stocks sometimes benefit from Brexit uncertainty, and the FTSE in London is now up 0.1%. U.S. stock index futures are little changed right now. The U.S. Federal Reserve finishes its meeting later today, with its public comments on the economy due in 7 hours. Or so. No change in interest rates is expected. John in Minneapolis, Minnesota wrote to say how much he enjoys our coverage of the economy and that Marketplace helps him make strong arguments and combat misinformation about financial matters. To join John in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. Now to a story about the price of environmental destruction. In Madagascar, the lithe primate with the big eyes, the lemur, is said to account for about 6% of that very poor country's gross domestic product, via tourism, of course. But the widespread poaching of a precious stone is threatening the lemur population. It's about the illegal gathering of sapphires, which are fairly easy to mine if you destroy wildlife habitat to do it. Paul Tullis just wrote about this in National Geographic. Mr. Tullis, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you again.
Give me a sense of how easy it is to mine sapphire. You don't need a whole lot of equipment.
Basically, you need a diesel-powered water pump, fuel buckets that you've cut off to use for digging, and some wood from the forest to keep the water from flowing into your mine and to hold the dirt back.
Which is tempting for many people to get involved in that, even if it ultimately means the results are smuggled out of the country. But how does mining sapphire, let's say informally, connect with the welfare of the lemur?
Well, The sapphires are found in the eastern portion of the country, which historically was covered by very dense rainforest, very high carbon stock, high biodiversity area. And to get to it, you need to remove trees. So the lemurs are mostly arboreal. They need contiguous forests to be able to move around. They won't go across wide stretches of ground to find mates and new groups to live with. So by destroying their habitat, you're destroying their ability to live.
So it's your sense from your reporting that this might be, this sapphire mining, the second largest industry in Madagascar?
Yeah, that's my understanding. It's hard to measure because it all happens in the informal economy without any taxation or government involvement. But the best estimates by academics are, yeah, that it is the second largest employing sector in the country after agriculture.
Is the government of Madagascar taking notice of this in some way?
They are a little bit, but they have very little capacity. It's a very poor country, one of the 10 poorest probably in the world, and they simply don't have the ability to enforce the protections that they've placed on their forested areas. We actually hired some off-duty police to escort us to the mine areas because of security concerns. And the police station is right there, you know, within view of the trailhead to the mines, and people are going in and out doing this illegal mining all day, and the police do nothing. They just don't have the ability, the manpower, to keep people out.
Paul Tullis' piece in National Geographic is titled Illegal Sapphire Mining Threatens Madagascar's Lemurs. Mr. Tullis, thank you.
Happy to be with you.
In such a low-income country, people have to do something, if not illegally mining sapphires. In Madagascar, tourism is seen as one answer. But again, that tourism is driven in part by worldwide fascination with lemurs and the country's almost alien planet beauty. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.